We put down our game controllers and sit back for a film this week as we get teleported to another dimension. What happens on the world of video game monsters and the directorial stylings of director Paul W.S. Anderson collide? Well, you have on you the makings of an odd kaiju film. This is Kaiju vs. History, Monster Hunter.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is your former T-Virus zombie hunter, Patrick. And joining me is a hunter ready to go on back to the future, Miles. Hey, Miles.
Boo! Boo!
I forgot I wrote that. That's some good stuff right there. That's A+ intro.
I hate you so much because they're going to make that movie.
It works. He does go, I guess to another dimension. Maybe it's not.
Yeah, the future, he doesn't go to the future. He's not from the past.
But it's like a past technology. Oh, Miles, we're talking about Monster Hunter in this week. I never thought we'd get here. This is obviously kind of a kaiju adjacent film.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the bigger enemies in Monster Hunter are, I would classify as kaiju.
Well, and we'll get into it, but they are also like four times larger than they are in the video games in this film.
Yeah, there's that. There's a handful in the big game that are legit big.
Yeah. Well, yes, there are some that are actually like there's one that I was watching like a size comparison video on YouTube, and there's one that's just like a living mountain.
Yeah.
Like a magma spewing mountain. I was like, oh, I wish that was in this movie. That was, the end of Wrath of the Titans, like the Titan coming out of the volcano.
And we get another video game adaptation from one Paul W.S. Anderson, whom I love to purposely confuse with the other Paul Anderson, Paul Thomas Anderson, to my film buff friends to irritate them. And
is there a difference between them? They're the same, right?
They find it very annoying. But how familiar are you with the filmography of one Paul W.S. Anderson? Because I've probably seen almost all of his movies, oddly enough.
I actually would say not very well. I'm just realizing he had a film come out this year. I don't know if anyone saw it.
It just came out, I think, like 2 weeks ago, I feel like.
Oh, really? Oh, that's... I did not hear anything about this coming out.
Oh, no, apparently it did have some sort of theatrical releasing. I've just seen it advertised the last couple days it hit streaming.
Oh, In the Lost Lands came out in... February.
But
obviously he's the most well known for the Resident Evil series. He directed all the Mila Jovovich ones.
Yes.
And then
he directed his wife in all of those movies.
Then was she his wife at the beginning? I don't think so.
Not at the they were dating, they were engaged on, I don't know why I know this, but they were engaged on and off for several years. And I think they got married in like 2007, I think.
Yeah, so a couple movies had come out. Two or three movies had come out.
They started dating pretty immediately after Resident Evil. I will give them this. The very first Mortal Kombat movie, which I rewatched about a week ago, is still pretty fun.
Oh, he directed the first Mortal Kombat. Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff.
And I would say his actual best movie, and I do not think there's an argument here, is Event Horizon.
Event Horizon's good. Actually, really, I'm looking at his Wikipedia now. Soldier.
I knew you were going to say you like Soldier.
It's good.
Fun. It's good. Very fun. Takes place in the Blade Runner universe.
Ooh, Alien versus Predator, not so much.
I rewatched that one not too long ago, and it's still a turd.
Yeah,
but I think he gets a bad rap because he is very much kind of what you would consider a hack director. He's a director for hire, but he's not without talent. And I think the first Mortal Kombat, Soldier, and Event Horizon really do prove that. Event Horizon's legit a fantastic movie. It's a great sci-fi horror film. I have not seen his remake of Death Race. Or his remake, or his version of The Three Musketeers, or his version of Pompeii. It's kind of funny, like, outside of Event Horizon, I don't think he has any, like, original films that aren't based on priorly made material.
Yeah, like, they're...
Soldier kind of counts, but it also takes place technically in the Blade Runner universe, so there's that.
Yeah, it's also kind of a a retreading of Universal Soldier. So not a lot. Yeah, but we are here to talk about Monster Hunter this week. So let's get to it.
So before we do, Patrick, tell us, and there shouldn't be much because this is a well-known title. What's in a title?
I mean, this is the same name as the video game series that it's based on, developed by Capcom, put out by Capcom Games. Huge hit for the company. Six main series games. The last one came out just this last year. I think there
wasn't that great.
I started playing it. I never got many spinoffs and handheld and probably phone games too over the years. But
yeah, Monster Hunter, PSP game.
Yeah, yes. Monster Hunter. Monster Hunter the movie is an alternative title you'll see maybe somewhere. Hun is the Japanese abbreviation. In Chile, it got the subtitle The Hunt Begins, and Hungary, Monster Empire. But mostly because this is a pre-existing franchise of games, you will just see this translated Monster Hunter in the same way the games were already, you know, translated in countries across the world. And I remember when this was announced, I was like, oh, OK, that's interesting that they're making this with Mila Jovovich and Paul W.S. Anderson, because they had just finished like the last Resident Evil movie.
Yeah.
And now they're diving into another series, maybe.
if you pitch me, hey, we're going to make a big budget Monster Hunter movie with Mila Jovovich and Tony Jaa, I'm like, shut up and take my money. That sounds awesome. It sounds awesome. But and I think it's also important to like really drive in how popular these games are, especially in Japan. While I mentioned the PSP because the Monster Hunter Freedom games for PSP were massively, massively popular because they have free Wi-Fi on their subways. And so if you're taking an hour long subway ride to school or work or whatever, people pop on their console or their PSP, and they'll play Monster Hunter with other folks on their ride to wherever they're going. This is a very, very, very popular game there. Far more than it was here until the recent 3D console games. Starting with Monster Hunter World was when it kind of really blew up more here. Like they were always good selling games, but they weren't the sensation they were in Japan. I was really, really excited for this movie. Obviously, the pandemic hit, and I don't think I went to an actual movie in theaters until about 2021, if I'm not mistaken.
Maybe. So this was towards the end of 2020. This came out in December. I do remember it having theatrical releases. Theaters were opening up around that time. I definitely went to movie theaters where they were doing like limited ticketing. At the time, my local movie theater was just like, you know, obviously in the tank. And it was some of my favorite movie going experiences where I got to see like, I saw Tenet in theater in like that July. And it was like just me and my father.
One of like 10 people that probably saw that movie.
Oh, there was nobody else in the theater. And it was so good. And
yeah, I
definitely
my first movie back was.
I mean, yeah, I guess I was part of the problem. I was going to movies still, but not very often. It's just something to do to get out of the house. And I knew nobody else was going to be at the movie theater. So I saw they did like the Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back release. And I was the only person in that theater. It was so great, Miles. It was one of the best things that's ever happened to me. I took a little nap. I woke up for the climax. But yeah,
money well spent, it sounds like.
This movie actually made money. It didn't like really reach its budget, but it did very well overseas.
It had a $60 million budget and it made 47. Like,
I said, during the pandemic, that's good.
Well,
that's great.
That's fair. That is very fair. It is certainly not movies are back like Godzilla versus Kong, but you know what? You're right. I was not taking that in consideration.
I will say there was a bit of a controversy about this film because it came out. There was a joke in the movie about, I think, Tony Jaa's knees being chai knees maybe it wasn't Tony Jaa, maybe it was like one of the rangers in the beginning of the movie, but the folks in China did not enjoy that I forget that in this movie, there were a whole bunch of soldiers, like Rangers, in the beginning, and they just get killed and picked off like super early, like first 20 minutes of the film. They all get absolutely murdered.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like one of them is Tip T.I. Harris.
Is he? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I the Rubber Band Man himself.
There are, oh my God, there are just so many hackneyed, cliched things that they say, like as they're moving out. One of them's like, man, he's killing flies inside their like Humvee. He's like, makes 20 kills a day. Killing feels good in the morning. And one of the others is like, oh, you don't know who like a band is. And it's like, how are you such a Philistine? It's like, that's just who I am. It's just this really poor establishing for these characters that we shouldn't care about at all and should not be played by T.I. Miles, because they die. They D.I. very quickly.
I mean, like, I know I was kind of mad because I was like, and again, this I had this conversation a lot where like movie soundtracks are very slowly starting to make a comeback. But like you're putting out a Monster Hunter movie, you have a very, very popular musical artist in your cast and they're not writing a song for the movie.
Yeah. Give them a shot. Like,
Paul. Come on.
Come on, Paul.
Come on.
Well, to be fair, I think I did watch this in 2021 on VOD at some point, but I don't think I really made it very far into the movie. I think I got to Tony Jaa and didn't make it much further past that. So I forgot a whole bunch.
I remember seeing the trailer and just being like, yep, nope, I'm good.
It's not great. But so to be fair, there is about 60 minutes of this movie that is just Mila Jovovich and Tony Jaa. You know, I guess we could talk about the plot a little bit, but it's an isekai plot. For some reason, they decided to kind of change up,
which is my least favorite thing to do for a property. I enjoy isekai.
You don't two plumbers from New York going down the
I'm fine with that because sewers. That's somewhat part of the actual Mario lore. I'm fine with that, but I'm not as fine as like, oh, let's put, for example, Masters of the Universe, let's put the Masters of the Universe in the 80s of today. Like, yeah. I dislike that, where it's like, oh, this thing you like, we're not going to actually adapt that. We're just going to put it in the modern urban landscape, like the Smurfs or Underdog or anything like that. And I'm like, well, why don't you just actually adapt the property? And that's what I hate so much about the actual like lack of story in this, is like, I don't want a bad version of Enemy Mine. Which, if you haven't seen, you should check out.
Oh, yeah. It is. There's some very Enemy Mine things where they're both tying each other up, and they don't learn each other's language at any point. They're still just like saying like or two words to one another by the end of the film.
Until Ron Perlman comes along and is like, oh, yeah, I also speak English.
Yeah, it's cool. I speak English. And I thought the reveal was going to be that he also came from
Earth.
Earth. But it's not. It's like other people had come and he learned from them. It's like, why not just be like a car salesman from Des Moines who turned into a super badass monster hunter?
Don't make him Negan.
Yeah, he's got a big old club.
But like, yeah, well, it's such a bummer because like I do very much like Mila Jovovich. I think she's been a fantastic action star throughout her career, but also is a very good actress when she's called upon. And she's very charismatic in her role. Like, she's very fun to watch. And then
They
absolutely waste both leads. Tony Jaa is one of the most charismatic on-screen presences. He's also one of the best like martial arts actors of all time. Like,
I feel like so much could have been done with his character if they had subtitled his lines for the audience, and there could have been like so many jokes where he got to portray his character and just have him speak Chinese, you know, or is he Thai? Him speak any language that he actually speaks, and then at least some audience members would like be able to engage with him. I guess maybe I don't know what he was speaking in the film, but
I'm actually not sure either. But yeah,
it wasn't a real language.
He's the one who helped popularize Muay Thai.
Yeah. So they're great. They're just kind of wasted. And plot wise, so much of this film's plot after she is drawn into this universe is taking out the Diablos. I feel like that is like the first hour of the movie is her and Tony Jaa going after this one monster. And then that's not even like the climax, you know.
if they were going to go this route, you actually didn't even have to do the isekai thing. Like, mm-hmm. you could have had her waking up in the egg sac. Like, that movie starts there where she's like waking up and gets herself out.
Well, the thing is, I'm fine with the isekai and bringing someone from like a trained soldier from our world. If just allow her to use guns and weapons and stuff. It would have been really cool if she was like a Rambo in this world, but they like stop using the guns pretty early on and they seem completely ineffective against the monsters of this universe. So,
which also is kind of stupid because like I have played my fair share of Monster Hunter games and some of these monsters die from really stupid reasons.
Well, that's the other thing.
I know
thing.
Because it's, I've done it. But I don't see any reason to go the narrative route they did. Because mm-hmm. Monster Hunter has a very rich lore in and of itself. And, like, they don't... I guess the only real fan service that, like, fans get is, like, they name some of the monsters, which are from the game, and you see the Palicos. Like
you see a Palico character who has a like a mid-credit sequence as well.
No reason.
It's like, oh, people are gonna love this Palico.
It also
cook.
Weirdly hits on Milojevic and gives him the kissy face at one point, and you're like, yes. What is happening right now?
but yeah, it's a big bait and switch. You know, one thing that I don't feel like was in the trailer at all was Ron Perlman, and maybe it's good that they didn't put him in too much because he's not in the movie for a long time. No, they go after another hunter at the end, and wildly, this movie feels like it ends in media res, like on a cliffhanger, because they don't kill that monster. Miles, they only kill like one large monster in this entire film. They kill the Diablo.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, you ready to go? It ends just like the first Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, yeah. But it just feels like it's incomplete. It feels like, hey, can't you do like 10 more minutes of film? I feel like you could take this thing out. And right, because they are, is it a second Wrath? What is the dragon one called?
So you have the Diablos at one point, and then mm-hmm. you have the then you have the Rathalos, and then you have
there's like spiders,
the Gormagala.
There's all kinds of weird looking creatures here, but
because the Gormagala was the one that's teased at the very end, the giant dragon. And then you have some ominous cloaked figure looking down upon everybody.
I thought that was just I thought the Gormagala was just another, what was the first one? Rathalos?
No. The Gormagala was the massive dragon.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the same thing. They're just
again,
both like
it's the bad script. Like this sucks so much because like you have a fantastic cast. You honestly have pretty solid special effects. Everything looks mm-hmm. good in this movie, and the creatures look good. They look pretty similar to their game versions. They even have moments like while the fanfare is few and far between for like tipping off the game, you have some moments you get to see them actually craft a little bit, even though most of it makes zero sense whatsoever. That's fine, that's the game. But then you just have like this dumbass story. Like, it's very stupid, it's very derivative. We've already mentioned Enemy Mine and a million other movies like it, where you have like these two people who don't speak the same language who are in this one hostile era together who have to rely on each other to survive. And you're just very fortunate that you have two extremely charismatic actors who, when they're on screen together, even if they're doing something very, very stupid,
they're great.
They're great to watch. Like, yeah. That's the thing is like Tony Jaa, like is a favorite of mine. Like him and Jet Li are like two of my favorite martial mm-hmm. arts actors to ever watch. And the fact that you don't have Tony Jaa like going buck wild on a couple of creatures, like he gets a couple licks in here and there, but like you have one of the greatest like martial arts actors of all time, and you don't utilize that?
Yeah, not a lot of his action in here. There's a good amount of action in general, but this film should have been called Monster Hunted and not Monster Hunters, though, yeah. Because first of all, they're just like super the target of these monsters and not the other way around. Second,
or call it like, you know, that time my military group and I got sucked into Monster Hunter.
Is it wrong to hit on Tony Jaa in another universe?
Right. Exactly. My life as a monster. If they had called it that, like, and gave it like a little bit of like a tongue in cheek, you know what? That would have actually massively affected my viewing of this movie.
Miles, this soundtrack is terrible. Is it just me, or does it sound like it is like a science fiction vibe?
So here's the thing. The soundtrack is not terrible. I actually think the soundtrack's very good.
It's
the
bad for a fantasy.
It does not mess the movie at all.
No, it feels like
80s synthy. I mean, you know me. Yeah. I'm a big school.
Well, like, it feels like it's B-sides for the Resident Evil series. You know, it's just he had this leftover.
It feels like rejected things for the new Midnight album is what it sounds like. But like, I'm all up about that. But like, at the same time, I'm just like, well, I don't know. I think it's bad. And I mean, look, Tony Jaa has only done like four American films. Yeah, he did Furious 7. He did XXX2 Return of Xander Cage and Expendables 4 and then Monster Hunter. So like, you also have, I don't know. You completely waste your talent here on this awful isekai story. And I'm not anti-isekai. I'm not. Like, I'm a big fan of a lot of it. It's just, I very much dislike this American trend that has been going on for decades of, instead of genuinely adapting a property and doing something really interesting, you waste all your resources making this kind of, before it was isekai, you know, obviously Master of the Universe came out way before we were coining that term. But I don't know, it's one of my least favorite things to do with an actual, like, IP. Like, it's fine if it was its own story. If this was something else that wasn't connected to Monster Hunter, we'd be having a different conversation, most likely. But because I have that going in, and I already know that there's good lore, like, it's very difficult to, like, judge this movie as a fun little creature feature because you know how cool the monster hunting gets.
Yeah, I guess maybe, because I have not played the game so much, it's not as big a factor for me. I will say, I think you're right. The technical aspect of the monsters, I think they look really good.
Yeah, they do.
I wished they maybe picked a little more different. I feel like there are a whole bunch of different kinds of monsters, and it feels like we just got several types of dragons, you know, the Diablos is just like a wingless dragon, but I guess it was cool because it was kind of, you know, dug under the sand and stuff. But yeah, this movie did not get good critical reviews, Miles. It's sitting at 44% on Rotten Tomatoes. A little higher reviews from audience members. But yeah, pretty low in general for this film. And yeah, to be honest, if it wasn't on our list, it just wouldn't have grabbed me. And it falls into a wide canyon of video game adaptations that are just not serving the series, you know, they're just not good.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate because like, I actually went in like with like, I was kind of hopeful because one, I really like both lead actors a lot. I think they're excellent. Like, yeah, I don't really love the Anderson Resident Evil movies that much. Like,
yeah,
just because I love them, the original games, and it's just not where I wanted them to go, even though I have entries in that series that I do very much like. I'm a big fan of that third movie for some reason. It's just a weird, dumb movie, but it really worked for me. It might have helped that when I saw it in 2007, I was not entirely sober. Because the mall downstairs had like a bar, and I was waiting for my buddy to get there before we went. And so I already had a few. And I was like, is it the alcohol, or is this movie really fun? I wish that could happen here. I was not very enthused about this final product, despite the fact that, like you said, the technical aspects are honestly, outside the script, very good.
Well, if you like Paul W.S. Anderson video game zombie films, supposedly his next film is an adaptation of the House of the Dead video game.
Can't be worse than Uwe Boll's.
Yeah, while there's no you know, word about a sequel to Monster Hunter, wife Mila Jovovich has said that her husband has written some material for a potential sequel. So, you know, if the movie money were to flow again, I think a sequel to this film could happen. And I think it would do a lot better in a non-COVID world.
I would agree with that. Monetarily, I think this movie would have done better if it was released in a time where people were actively going to the movies. Although you could argue they're still not.
Yeah, I don't know. There have been some pretty big releases.
Sure. Okay. I'm sorry. Very well, big releases that weren't put out by a comic book adaptation or Disney.
Yeah, I was about to say, or both.
Or both.
Yeah. Well,
recent, there's a Chinese movie that just been making waves this year. I think it's called it's a sequel. I can't remember the title of it, but it's made like over $1 billion as well.
Right. Are you ready to get into?
Yeah, let's do it. I think we're kind of shotgunning right now, so let's do it.
Yeah, you know, talking about this, I don't know if it was in the water, but like I said, for most of the entirety of our lives, video game adaptations have just been god awful, with a few schlocky exceptions and successes.
Mortal Kombat. Do you have a favorite video game movie?
Like, now it is probably going to be like an actual good one, like the Super Mario Brothers animated film, or Detective Pikachu was kind of fun, but I don't know if I have a personal favorite. I actually still do go back to the original Mortal Kombat and had a lot of fun with
Paul W.S. Anderson. Very, very fun movie. I liked the most recent one, too. I'm excited to see where they go with the sequel.
But yeah, Mortal Kombat was fun. I obviously watched the live action Super Mario fever dream of a film when I was a kid.
I have the Australian 4K massive box set that came out last year for that movie. I'm a big fan of that movie. Less so as a direct Mario adaptation and more of just like this really cool, weird sci-fi film that's loosely based on Mario.
I think if this movie had come out 2 years later, it probably would have done very well and been on its way to making a sequel already. But I think the pandemic, yeah, just hit this thing and, you know, some fans just weren't able to see it. But I enjoyed this movie well enough. It probably did pretty well on VOD and streaming and things. So, but yeah, not being a fan of the series, I do wish there was a little bit more to this film and they fixed some of the errors. So I'm giving it just a 6 out of 10. Not great. Not bad. What about you, Miles?
So I was probably harsher on this movie than I should be. But in terms of personal enjoyment, that plot like completely takes me out of enjoying this movie. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because you have a phenomenal cast. You have pretty solid special effects. And it's a struggle for me to enjoy a lot of the half the time I'm just yelling at the movie. Like, because they just gave us this weird ass enemy mine version. And I didn't have a good time with it. And I really, really wanted to both enjoy it, but also like not be as rough on it as I have been on some of these stinkers, because I don't want it to be among them. But in terms of my personal enjoyment, because they just kind of failed so spectacularly in delivering on the promise of a Monster Hunter movie with these two actors, I think it hurt my actual enjoyment of the movie. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 10. Like, ooh. I was really, really unhappy with it. And I feel like I'm being too harsh on it, but I'm just going off my personal feelings for this one, because yeah, it was really, really rough for me. It's actually my lowest score is my personal enjoyment for this one, because it's just I don't know why you had to make it an isekai where you have two people who can't understand one another as the main story like vehicle, mm-hmm. when you have a rich lore. And like, it doesn't matter if you've watched the video or played the video games or not, but like, just the fact that there is a rich lore for Monster Hunter and you just didn't do anything with it. You're given all this money and you have two amazing stars, and it just, it sinks the movie for me. So yeah, I'm at 4 out of 10.
What about for the technical aspects? Where do you land on that?
So I docked this one pretty heavily for its script, for obvious reasons that I just gave. But I do think that both actors, and honestly, everyone, showed up for work. They did a really good job with what they were given. I mean, despite the fact that it's an awful script, Tony Jaa and Mila Jovovich just ooze charisma. They're so fun to watch, even in a bad movie. And I can't fault them for that. The special effects look great. The designs are pretty comparable to their Monster Hunter designs. It's cool seeing those creatures come to life, despite the fact that they look a little, I would say it's kind of a little humdrum compared to the games a little bit, okay. But that's not a big deal.
A little simple by comparison.
Yeah, they're just a little simple, but overall I thought it was really solid, and despite the fact that the script is dog do and the score, while I enjoyed it, doesn't really match the film's tone. I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10.
Oh, okay. I am a little below that. I think, you know, while critically the Resident Evil movies have not been treated well, they all look very slick. This one is in the same kind of vein. The monsters, I think, do look great. I wish we got a little bit more of the fantasy world that it's in, because so much as it's just these two characters by themselves in the desert. And by the time we get to the ship and, you know, the Rathos and all the other stuff at the end of the movie, the movie's almost done. So, yeah, I feel like sequels could have done very well to show off like other, there's like tons of biomes in this world, like other like countries and things on the in the game. I feel like sequels could have done much more for this series. But yeah, still the general style of the movie is good. The Isekai plot didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, even though, like I said,
for you,
it could have been changed completely and it wouldn't really have affected the plot. So it's like, well, why do it? You know,
yeah, exactly.
We get like hints and brief glimpses, like she lost her husband, who is also a soldier, maybe. Is that right?
I didn't track anything about a husband, so.
She, at one point, she was like freaking out because she lost something, and she has like a little box that had a ring, a wedding ring in it, I'm pretty sure. And it's like, none of this stuff mattered, you know?
Oh, yeah, it sounds familiar.
But anyway.
And also, we don't go into the his stuff at all, because you don't have any subtitles. When she breaks all of his little figurines,
it's like,
and he flips out, we still don't know why.
It was like,
what does that mean to him?
I thought it was his family, but maybe it was just his crew, because we find them at the end.
I wish I could tell you.
Yeah. For its, I'm giving a 6 out of 10. For its importance, typically not really a kaiju movie. This is definitely an adjacent property that does feature some kaiju-esque creatures who have some interesting kind of fantasy magic elements. Outside of regular dragons, I definitely really like the Diablos in this. And yeah, kaiju sized creatures, it still feels fairly important in the grand scheme of kaiju films. But like I said, if this movie got a sequel, we probably would have been like, oh, well, we have to do this because they have the giant monster sized creature in the thing. So yeah, I'm giving it a similar score to Love and Monsters a few weeks ago, giving it a 5 out of 10 for its importance. What about you, Miles?
I am right there with you, bud. Yeah, as a kaiju adjacent movie that doesn't, again, because yes, it names some creatures, but we don't really get any context for it until like the very end, where you have the gigantic, you know, dragon creature. I just, which is a gore. I've lost it. But yeah, if I was having a conversation with somebody about, you know, the kaiju movies that I had seen for the 21st century, this is not one that would come up immediately. Like, if someone asked me, I'd be like, oh, well, you know, here's a caveat, because this movie is not unpleasant to watch. You know, it's not like it's not like Conga TNT, where like every minute is kind of just like, I'm just irritated. I am irritated because of how bad the script is, but like everything else is kind of firing on all cylinders. And I wish there was some kind of kaiju tropes. Like, I wish the legendary Godzilla verse would be like, oh, yeah, we dropped one of our portals. Godzilla's popping in here. He's going to take care of business.
Yeah, right.
That'd be fun. But yeah, it's just fine. Like, even for kaiju adjacent stuff, like, I would recommend Tremors or Deep Rising or anything like that before, or Love and Monsters before I recommended Monster Hunter. Like,
yeah.
I would say if you're a fan of the games and you have to see it, by all means, check it out. But like, just temper your expectations.
Yeah. But so yeah, that
as far as like a kaiju movie, yeah, it's right in the middle of the road. It is what it is. It's 5.
It sounds like you're at a 5 out of 10. I'm at a lower 6 out of 10. That is going to bring our podcast final for Monster Hunter to a 5 out of 10. Okay. It's like a good on our scale. It is not a great kaiju film, but it is one that if you want a completionist, I think can be added to your list.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's going to do it for us. Miles, where can folks find us if they want to talk kaiju?
If you want to talk kaiju with me and Patrick, you can easily email us at kaijuversushistory@gmail.com, as we have demonstrated before. You can hit us up on Blue Sky at Kaiju vs. History. Go to our website, kaijuversushistory.com. Please rate and review our show, comment, share with your friends. Let us know what you think. Check out our Letterboxd account to see all our reviews and watch our list of films. But if you actually want to talk to us, go to our sister podcast website, CosmicCrit.com, click on the Discord, and hop into that Kaiju vs. History channel we have in there. You can talk to Patrick and I in real time while we're bored at work. We are constantly sharing mostly like just news and toys these days, because it's been a hot minute since something came out. But there's a lot of exciting stuff on the horizon. We have like possibly 3 Japanese Godzilla films in the work. We have at least 1 or 2 Godzilla projects on American shores in the work, with the Godzilla Kong Supernova and Monarch Season 2. And who knows what else? We've been promised some news on Gamera. So
maybe something there.
So come chat with us. We love talking about giant monsters. Patrick, what are we doing next week?
Next week. Thank you, Miles. We're going to catch you guys when we head back in time about 60 years to the height of the kaiju boom, as Daiei Films attempts to cash in on that Godzilla craze with their own classic creature feature, Giant Horde Beast Nezara. That doesn't sound right. That movie never came out. But yes, take a look behind the scenes with us at what caused a movie to fail so that Gamera could succeed. That's right. Tune in next time for History versus Nezara 1964. Bah, 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 bah.